Welcome to Law Matters for another fortnight, brought to you by the Aboriginal Legal Service of Western Australia. And a big show coming your way. Hope you can stay with us for the next hour. Coming up a little later in the program, we're going to meet a couple of sisters who are working with the Aboriginal Legal Service, both as lawyers. They went through their university studies at Murdoch University together. They were admitted at the same time. They graduated at the same time. Also went through the course with their cousin. And I'm talking about some women from the Kimberley area that you're going to meet later in the program today, Kim Axford and Christy Gaunt. So do stay tuned for that. Also going to be talking and following on from last program, we were talking about a young fella up in the Kununurra region who was held in the police lockup there for about 7 days. And just going to talk about this practice of young kids being held in adult lockups and how there needs to be better solutions found for that. Also talking about the Australian government as part of its commitment to pursuing constitutional recognition of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Australians. Consultation that's taking place right around the country as we speak. Already been some regional forums here in Western Australia, but still some more, including Broome, to take place. So we'll give you some information on that, and also a website that you can find out all of the information you need to know about that constitutional recognition. But our first guest this week on the program is Aboriginal Legal Service of WA CEO Dennis Eggington. Welcome to the program, Den. How are you going?
Good. Good to be back on air, Jones.
A few issues to get through today, but firstly, congratulations. Big night in Perth on Saturday night, the WA Citizen of the Year Awards for 2011. And saw you honoured with the Award for Indigenous Leadership. Congratulations.
Thanks, Jode. With most things, these awards aren't really possible unless, of course, you're lucky in some way of having a great team and an organisation behind you. And the legal service has been operating now nearly for 4 decades, which is a long time, providing a good service to our community, but also to make sure that this state's judicial system runs and can run. In the state, we're among one of only few people that can get out among the remote areas where our mob live, and if it wasn't for services like ours and others, then it would be very difficult for some people to just get basic freedoms, access to justice. But it is a real recognition that the legal service is still seen as doing well in the state, and I'm very proud to have accepted the award, not just for myself, but on behalf of all of our staff and particularly those people that helped set the legal service up a long time ago, people who have come and gone and moved on to other things, people who have passed on. All of those people have really helped culminate in receiving that award. So, yeah, it was great.
You mentioned after the awards too, Dennis, about how humbling it was to sort of have been in the presence of those other nominees on the night, because it's very hard, isn't it, when you've got so many people working tirelessly at community level, and you've got people like Panchity Mary McLean as one of the nominees, Jim Morrison, Dr. Mark Binbarker, who was a guest on this program a couple of weeks ago during Law Week. It's really difficult, isn't it, to know that there's so many people doing so much great work.
Oh, look, I mean, for us Noongars, we know that Jim has been an absolute champion. He's looking after Sorry Day, the Stolen Generations. I remember back in the 80s with Jim and Brian White and Rob Riley and Teddy Wilkes and Dean Collard and a few other men were really sort of setting the pace for people coming through. And so Jim's been at the very forefront of our Aboriginal politics, but he's just a foundation stone in our community, and I just admire people like Jim Morrison. I think he's a true champion and a true leader, and myself, I'd like to say to Jim and to Mary and Mary G, Marky Binbarker, and to Dr. McLean, I felt pretty humble being in the presence of some great Aboriginal people, and really, once again, the award could have gone to any particular person that night, and I think we all would have been happy no matter who got it. But once again, to Jim and others, look, you guys, you just do such a fantastic work, and we wouldn't be halfway where we are these days, surviving under the circumstances we do and have done, if it wasn't for people like Jim and, you know, Jim's dad and Jim's mum who was there, you know, the Morrison family from down around Katanning, Broomhill Way there, you know, they're well-known family, and I'm very proud to call Jim a friend, and it was great to see him there on the night.
All right. Well, look, let's get on to other matters. A couple of weeks ago during Law Week, we were talking in detail with ALS's Director of Legal Services, Peter Collins, about a case that had been in the media of a young fella held in the Kalgoorlie lockup for three nights over a weekend. Pete ran through the whole case with us and gave us a very good overview of why something like this never needed to happen. Well, more recently, and for more than twice as long, a young person has been held in the Kununurra lockup, further in the north of our state. Dennis, the practice of holding children in adult lockups is not isolated, is it? It's been happening all over the state for some time.
Oh, look, it's been happening from day dot. If you go through history and have a look at some of the early colonial records, you'll see that our children were first to have been the ones who were stolen from their families to be brought up as, I don't know, some kind of little token in white colonial families. And the practice has never stopped from taking kids away from us, whether it's through government through, you know, just absolutely going through the bush and grabbing hold of kids and, you know, tying them up and leaving them in their houses, right through to government policies. And still today, our children are targeted by the instruments of government. They're arrested at rates which are just totally unacceptable. They're vulnerable. And remember, these of our beautiful young kids are born into a world free of sin, innocent, and, you know, by the time they're 12, you know, the police or government have right and truly got their claws into them. And to be taking our kids continually, then putting them in adult lockups, and to continuing to, I guess, attack our families and our community at that level is terrible. It's disgusting. But the practice of locking kids up in adult lockups is going on all the time. And these two incidences you talk about, Jody, just highlight that it's still a problem, and that unless we really sort of have some goodwill by the police and by others and by, you know, people in government saying we don't want JPs anymore colluding with the police to lock up our kids, put them before trained and qualified magistrates, because it seems to me that it's the justices of the peace that are turned to when, you know, police really want to try to hold on to young kids and lock them up. They seem to get a fairer and more equitable deal from magistrates than a handful of JPs around the state who are pseudo magistrates and judges and think they're that. And it's a real shame, and it needs to stop.
You've headed up the Aboriginal Legal Service in Western Australia since 1996, so going on to 16 years. Is the situation worsening, getting better?
Oh, look, I think there's been a terrible failing by government, particularly when we know that the biggest problem that we face with not just the removal of us from country and the early massacres and things, but the real attack and the continued attack on our families, the fabric of our fabric of anyone's community, whether you're an Aboriginal person or a, you know, a Native American living in the Brazilian rainforest, or whether you're some, you know, German family living in Germany, that the fabric of your community is solid families. And everyone knows that, and that's why they attack our families, that's why they attack our children, that's why they try to have policies that bust us up. So there's been some terrible failings about strengthening and making our families healthy again. I mean, we've got Closing the Gap now, but, you know, every 6 years we've got something different. I'm sure within 6 years' time there'll be something else again, some other government policy that is designed to try to improve the quality of life for our mob. I mean, the evidence is very clear. It's really about our rightful place in this country. It's about our rights. It's about Aboriginal people having control of our own lives, and that's what it's about. And so the failing really is around making that a reality. And of course, the consequences are that our families continue to struggle and be marginalised and are an easy pickings for governments, the police, and anyone else who wants to have a go at us.
All right, that gets us on to our next point, Dennis, where we're going to be talking about the expert panel that has been set up to pursue the recognition of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples in the Australian Constitution. What's that actually going to mean for our communities? We'll talk about that very shortly.
Hi, my name is Chris Clinch. I like listening to 100.9 FM Noongar Radio.
Hey!
And I cry your shame, desperation without love. Little cry from a desperate heart, for understanding from above. Won't you hear them cry, love,
love, no.
Dave Dow and Love Save Me. Never heard it before, but I'm only really listening lately to Dan Sultan. Fantastic album. Hey, There's just gone through the community announcement file here at Noongar Radio and seeing that looks like today in Perth being the 1st of June, Wednesday the 1st of June, because of course this program is repeated on Sunday nights, there is a protest rally and it's all to do with the treatment of youth by police. Now, if you would like to find out more about that rally, please call 0487 336 314, 0487 336 314, and ask to speak to Rex. So that's an urgent protest rally today, Wednesday the 1st of June at Parliament House in Perth, commencing around 12 o'clock. But Rex will be able to give you more information. That number again, 0487 336 314. And to the best of my knowledge, tomorrow being the 2nd of June, there's another rally occurring in Perth with regards to our homeless people. If you missed any of those details, call the mob here at Noongar Radio and they'll be able to tee you up with those numbers again. This is a Law Matters radio program brought to you fortnightly by the Aboriginal Legal Service of WA. Jodie Hoffman with you, and our guest in the studio this morning is Dennis Eggington, the CEO of the ALS. We're talking before about our young people and that there needs to be serious change in the eyes of Australia as a nation to make some changes to the treatment of our First Nations peoples. Now, the government has committed to pursue recognition of our people in the Australian Constitution. It's through a process that requires the building of a general community consensus, the central involvement of Indigenous and non-Indigenous people, and collaboration with parliamentarians from across the political spectrum. Now, the government have established an expert panel in order to ensure that there is appropriate discussion and detail about the proposed changes, and also to provide the opportunity for people to express their views. Panel members have been making their way around the country. I know there's already been some community and public meetings happening in various parts of the state. Dennis, what's your view on the importance of something like this?
I think it leads on to what we were talking about before. I think that we as First Nations peoples, we as the first citizens of this country, have got a special place, and it should have been in the constitution of this country. It should have been in documents like the Australia Act, and it should have well and truly been in place because this country has laws against discrimination, and by the time the Australia Act and other things were being drafted, there was very clear evidence that there was First Nations peoples in this country who were sovereign in their own right. So I guess the question is whether or not that rightful place can be achieved through current constitutional reform, and you know, and whether or not Australia is going to accept it, I think, is probably a fairly important issue as well, because it has to get through a referendum, and if Australia's not ready for that referendum, then it'll fail and we'll have lost our one opportunity. But I mean, I think probably in my way of thinking is that if we aren't seen as being equals, in other words, if we are seen as being subservient to the Commonwealth of Australia, the government of this country, then all will fail. We can't be second-rate and second-class citizens in our own country. We have to negotiate our rightful place as equals with the Australian government, and that's a very big mind jump for lots of people in this country, and people may not accept that. But unless we are sitting down as equals at the table, then we're always going to get a second-rate deal, and that's the worry, I think, from lots of Aboriginal people across this country. And, you know, a constitution that holds tokenisms, well, tokenism's important, symbolism is important, but tokenism's not. And you know, to be mentioned in some pre-ramble about, you know, being the custodians and traditional owners, well, that's not really going to do much for us. Taking away the race powers of the Commonwealth government so that it can't make laws that sometimes are detrimental, although the race power obviously is about making laws for the benefit, but when you can make laws like the Northern Territory intervention, then it is a detrimental effect on our community. So taking those out is still a long way from sitting down and saying, hey, hold on, you now have to do a deal with this, with the First Nations. So here in Noongar country, the Noongar Nation should be able to sit down with the Commonwealth Government and write up its place as equals in the constitution of this country, so that this country is not just governed by the Commonwealth of Australia, but it is governed by First Nations peoples and it is governed by the states and territories. We should have been included in the Australia Act as equals to the states and territories in some sense, and we should have been, but we should have been negotiated as equal partners in this country. So, you know, we can only sit back and look and observe now. I mean, there are some expert people on that panel. You know, you've got Pat Dodson, Marcia Langdon, you got Megan Davis, and of course you've got some Wadjalas who are pretty good barristers and people that are real staunch advocates for Aboriginal rights, and you know, people like Fred Cheney and Mark Liebler and others. And you know, if Noel Pearson and Rachel Seawert and those can't get it right, or can't get what they feel is the voice of Aboriginal people in there, then it's going to be a terrible disaster that could have everlasting effects on us gaining that rightful place in this country. So, you know, people need to have a say, and, you know, in many ways, many of us are very powerless in these sorts of debates and situations, and you just hope that that in some way a lot of the work that, you know, we're talking about Jim before and you know, and others do in our community have shown non-Aboriginal people that we want that place and that we need their support, because in the end it's the Australian people who are going to judge whether or not we're going to be having changes to the constitution that will really benefit our mob.
And it's incredible to think that, you know, the Constitution was written in 1901, so it's the basis for Australia's laws and political system. It's meant to represent the values that define our nation, but it does still include the possibility for discrimination based on race, and it ignores Australia's First Peoples and our role as custodians of the oldest living culture. So it is vital, isn't it, Dennis, that people do find out where their local community meetings and consultation is happening about this and have their say, hey?
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, the difficulty is that even up until, you know, 1976, and I'll stand to be corrected, it could have been a different date, but I think in 1976 when the Australia Act was first in place, which means we got away from the Privy Council of the British Westminster system, and we had our own High Court and all these sorts of things. I mean, we didn't even want to do it right in 1976. And as I said, you know, we've had a Racial Discrimination Act in this country since 1974. We had Mabo decisions that were in and out of court and sovereignty arguments. So even in 1976, when people in this country still knew that there was a very clear understanding that First Nations peoples existed, still existed, had a sovereign right to our countries, unless it had been extinguished, of course, they still didn't include us as equals. And so it's a pretty big slog and a pretty big ask, but, you know, it doesn't mean that this country at some time in the future won't be ready for that. Whether this country is ready for it now is a big question.
All right, so keep your eyes open for meetings happening within your own areas throughout Western Australia and, in fact, throughout the whole country. The expert panel began its extensive schedule of consultations around Australia this month, May, and over the coming months you'll get to have your chance to contribute. And by December this year, after a period of consideration, discussion and consultation with all Australians, the expert panel will advise the government about the options for improving the constitution to reflect modern Australia values, and for the first time formally recognising the unique place of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples in the history of Australia. You're listening to Law Matters here on 100.9 FM Noongar Radio. Good to have your company on Law Matters, brought to you by the Aboriginal Legal Service of WA. Going to meet a couple of our solicitors in a moment, but they're sisters, and we're going to find out exactly how they enjoy working together, how they enjoyed studying together, and why they got involved in the justice system in this state. Dennis, thanks for being a guest on our program today. Congratulations again on your Indigenous Leadership Award from the other day.
Thanks, Jade. It's an award that I accept on behalf of all of our ALS staff and members. And, you know, there's just so much positive stuff happening, and that's why I'm very optimistic what the future will bring. You know, there are just, you know, we're going in leaps and bounds from a time when things were looking pretty dismal for Aboriginal people, and our numbers were so low. You know, we were locked up behind fences and bars, and, you know, we now have wonderful people doing wonderful work all over the world, all over this country, and our voice is strong, Aboriginal radio is strong, and our Noongar Nation movement is strong, because we've just got some wonderful, wonderful people in this part of the country, and I'm pretty happy and proud to be a part of all of that, Joe.
Law Matters, if you want more information on the constitutional recognition consultation that is happening as we speak, check out the website You Me Unity. You Me Unity, and it'll have all the information that you need to know. Kim Exford and Christy Gaunt coming up very soon here on Law Matters.
My name's Claire, and I wish I could have my heart attack again. I was a fit, dog-walking 49-year-old female, and yes, I had a heart attack. Mine started with an ache between my shoulder blades, then heaviness in my chest, all of which I ignored, not realising my heart muscle was actually starting to die. So I really wish I could have it again, because all I had to do right at the start was call 000.
Learn the warning signs at heartattackfacts.org.au.
Station sponsor. most people I know think that I'm crazy. And I know at times I act a little hasty.
Billy Thorpe and the Aztecs, most people I know think that I'm crazy. Here on Law Matters 100.9 FM, great to have your company. This program is brought to you every second Wednesday by the Aboriginal Legal Service of WA, and it's repeated on Noongar Radios on Sunday night, and also a couple of days after broadcast goes on to the website of the Aboriginal Legal Service at www.als.org.au. Well, sisters Kim Axford and Christy Gaunt both studied law together at Murdoch University, where they graduated in 2005 and they were admitted together in 2006. Both have previously worked with the Department for Public Prosecutions and in recent years have worked with the team at the Aboriginal Legal Service of WA. I would like to welcome to the studio today sisters Kim Axford and Christy Gaunt. Hello guys, thanks for coming in.
Yeah, no problems.
Thanks, Jodie.
Now, you have been a guest on Law Matters before, Kim.
Yes.
Talking about the role of the civil unit.
Mm-hmm.
You're the manager of the civil unit. Tell us about the role of the unit.
I'm just acting in that position at the moment. We've had a few changes recently, and we've got quite a large workload at the moment. So at the moment, we're not able to give any advice. We've got quite a large file load, which we're just working through now. But yeah, we're getting there, getting on top of it all. So yeah, should be up and running again pretty soon.
Excellent. And Christy, your first time on the program. Thank you for coming in.
Yes, thanks, Jodie. It's good to be here.
I want to know where you guys are from and where you got your interest from to get involved in the legal system in this state. Christy, you want to start?
Yes. We grew up in Perth, but our family are originally from the Kimberleys, the Kidja and Goodyandi
people. Yeah.
And basically, I always knew that an education was very important, as my mother had said and her mother had said to her as well. And my grandmother and grandfather were very fortunate to get a very good education, even though they were on an Aboriginal mission. And it was very important to them, and my mother did the best she could with the opportunity she had to get a good education, and always thought that I did want to go to university, and took a while, and eventually I was able to go to Murdoch Uni and decided to study law, since I'd been working in the justice areas and also as a legal secretary, and thought this is something I'd like to give a go.
So you decided at the same time to embark on your legal studies?
Yeah, it just happened by coincidence. When I was about 18 years old, I began working at the Director of Public Prosecution's office. I was working there as a clerk, and so I got to know a lot of the prosecutors, a lot of the lawyers there, and got quite interested. There was a lot of interesting matters going through there, and so I thought that law was pretty interesting, and I got to the point where I'd got my long service leave, and I didn't really want to, I wanted to actually do something a little bit more with my life anyway, and I thought, oh, it might be good to go to uni, and law, this is pretty interesting doing law, so I thought, well, I'll go to university and see if I can get into law.
How helpful was it for you both doing your studies together in terms of having someone to sort of get feedback from and help each other out throughout those studies? Because I imagine it's pretty grueling at times.
Yes, it's very, very difficult. When I first started doing law, I thought, my goal is to just get through 1 year, and then got through the first year, and then thought I'll try another year. But without Kim's support, and also my cousin who was also studying law,
Karina Martin, yep. Yeah, one of our former staff at the ALS.
Yep. I don't think I would have got through. It was just great to have their support, and also Murdoch University was very supportive as well, so I was very happy that I went there.
Yeah, same for me too. I think we had a really good support group through the Coolbardie Aboriginal Centre as well at Murdoch University, so there was other students who were also studying law at the same time, and we all would get together and support each other and help each other. So I think that was really good and certainly made it a lot easier to get through, because it was very hard.
Yeah, is it the sort of decision that you make and you think, oh my gosh, what have I done? For the next X amount of years I'm going to be, you know, head down studying so hard. It's fantastic that support is there, but no regrets?
No regrets at all. I know when I entered it, I thought, no, I have to complete it. I'm going to do it the whole time. Just have to do it. It was really difficult, but, yeah, just kept pushing on. And, yeah, before you knew it, you were, you know, graduating, so.
Now, you both worked at the DPP. How was that in providing you with sort of a greater understanding of the law in WA?
Certainly got a good picture of how the criminal justice system works.
Yes.
And as you're working as a prosecutor, you see the side more, I suppose, from the victim's perspective while you're there, but you also can see how you can try and do some good as well for people going through the system. So, yeah, I found it fairly interesting. You got a good oversight of the criminal justice system, and I suppose other areas that sort of branch off it as well.
And Christy, you were working as a prosecutor as well?
Yes, I was. It was like jumping into the deep end, but you just had to try your best and work really hard, and I learned so much from that experience.
What does a prosecutor do?
Prosecutor basically brings criminal charges against an accused person and brings it to trial.
What they'll do is they'll have a look into the situation just to see what evidence there is there, to see whether they should run a matter. Also consider the public interest of bringing the prosecution as well before they make the decision whether it's going to go to trial or not. And I believe there's a little bit of negotiating that goes on as well to see what you can do depending on what's going to be best for people involved.
Okay. Yeah. Well, the last few years has seen you guys at the Aboriginal Legal Service. How are you enjoying that?
Yeah, it's been really good.
It's really good to be able to help people there.
Mm.
That's the best thing about it.
Now, you obviously as sisters have a pretty good relationship. If you can study together, work together in more than one job, it's not like you've worked in one job and thought, oh my gosh, never going to do that again. You're working together in the civil unit. Is it nice to be working together as sisters?
Yeah, I think so. It's really good because we always bounce ideas off each other as well, and you feel that you can ask the dumb questions a little bit more to your sister than what you would to other people as well, so it makes it more helpful.
Christy, Kim's a little bit younger than you, but she's the acting manager. She's not too bossy with you?
No, I'm very lucky to have such a good boss.
Why do you think the work that's done by the ALS and the civil unit is so important? Because, of course, the civil unit in recent years was very involved with Redress WA applications and taking stories from members of our stolen generation. Civil law in itself is a whole different ballgame to what people are usually hearing about, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. We have a lot of clients that they really do need assistance, and we try to do what we can where we can as well. So sometimes you're dealing with people who really do need that little bit of extra care. So that's what we like to try and provide people when we can.
I think it's an all-female unit as well, isn't it?
It has been until recently.
Until recently?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So we have now one new male lawyer.
Yeah, working in the unit. We've also had one of the private law firms has been providing a lawyer once a week on a pro bono basis,
Fantastic.
Free basis to the unit too, which has been really helpful.
Oh, look, it's great to see law companies get behind the work of the Aboriginal Legal Service, isn't it? Because, I mean, obviously, you know, there's always funding restrictions, time restrictions and so much work. The work never stops.
Yeah.
So to have that support from other companies as well is very important.
Yeah.
Christy, what do you like best about what you do? I mean, you've been admitted now for, what, 5 years as a lawyer? What do you like best about the job?
I like actually talking to the clients and trying to help them wherever possible. The people are lovely in most cases, and that's really enjoyable. And I love being able to help them it's not always easy, and I can't always do it, unfortunately, but where I can and where we get a win, it's very rewarding.
Oh, and how about you, Kim?
Yeah, same here. I like dealing with our clients. Yeah, you just have... I just find it just really rewarding and enjoyable. It's probably a little bit too rewarding and enjoyable sometimes, just being able to have that connection with people. But, yeah, it's really good when you can get a good outcome for somebody.
Now,
it's really satisfying.
Now, home away from Perth for you is the Kimberley.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get to go back up very much?
I try to go at least once a year.
Yep.
Yeah. Haven't been getting up there often enough. Need to go a little bit more, I think.
What did your family think when you both took on a career in law?
Well, there was us and also Karina, our cousin, at the same time, so...
They were very proud.
Yeah.
They wouldn't have thought that we could go this far and achieve this much, so it had just happened because we just did it year by year and...
Yeah, did it all together.
Yep.
Yeah.
And do you think it's important that there are more Aboriginal women and men getting into the legal profession and studying to be lawyers?
Oh, definitely. But it would also be good for Aboriginal people to get into just education and study and follow what you really want to do and just go out there and just do it.
I'm keen to know what motivates you both as Aboriginal women to do what you do. It's a pretty challenging area of work at times, isn't it, the role of the Aboriginal Legal Service? I mean,
yeah,
there's 18 offices statewide. You don't get into work at an organisation such as the ALS, I think, if you're wanting an easy ride. It's challenging work. It's very rewarding, and there's so many wonderful people that you get to meet in the community as a result of doing it. But it's very difficult when you're looking at a lot of the issues that are facing our people. Why do you do what you do?
Just like being able to help people as much as possible. I find it really enjoyable working at the ALS. At the moment, I don't think I'd really want to work anywhere else.
Yeah, something similar along those lines. I have no interest in working in any other area, really, other than at ALS at the moment. I don't know if that'll change in the future, but to be able to help people who really need the help is very satisfying.
Okay. Thank you both for coming onto the program today, and keep up the great work. Is there anyone you want to say g'day to? I know that this is broadcast in Perth, but it's also live streamed on the Noongar Radio website, and it goes onto our own website a couple of days after broadcast, so maybe do a shout out to some crew in the Kimberley area or wherever.
Yeah, I'm not sure where to say hi to family and to our clients as well if they're listening. How are you going?
All right. Thank you guys for coming in to have a chat with us on Noongar Radio. All the best. Keep up the great work. And thanks for being guests on the show today.
Yeah, thanks, Jody.
Thanks, Jody.
That is Christy Gaunt and Kim Axford from the Civil Unit of the Aboriginal Legal Service of WA. Sisters working together, studying together. Really inspirational, I reckon. And I'm sure some of our younger crew will be listening to that today and going, oh, we can do that. We want to have a go at that. And if that's the case, that would be fantastic. This is Noongar Radio.
I'm a baker. Put your hands in the air and give me all your money.
This is the story of my baker, the meanest cat from old Chicago town.
She was the meanest cat in all Chicago.
That wraps up Law Matters for another fortnight here on Noongar Radio 100.9 FM. If you want any more information about the Aboriginal Legal Service, check out our website www.als.org.au